This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us again for another episode of our podcast.
Hi, friends.
Hi, friends. Love that. That's kind of like your little, your call, you know, hi, yeah. Friends.
Yeah, it has to be there.
It has to be there. Yeah. That's right. It has to be there. I love it. So I'm going to start this whole episode talking about my book release.
We talked
about last episode about how it came out, and I was pleasantly surprised that for 2 days I hit number one new release in
biographies. I'm in your cheering section here. Hold on. Okay.
It was for biographies for religious leaders, and I was like, am I a religious leader? Maybe. I don't know. What do you define a religious leader? Like, I'm not a theologian. I don't know.
You don't. One of my favorite books from the past was just the title of the book. You do not need a title to be a leader. So.
Okay.
In that case.
Okay. I'll receive that.
So, yep. Yeah.
But I hit number one new release 2 days in a row. For biographies of religious leaders. So I was very happy about that. But I tell you, while it has been received for the most part very well, it's been really a bumpy kind of ride. It's been a mix of, how shall I say, of like receiving praise and how hard that is for me to receive that and trying to get through that. And I don't know if it's because it's such a personal book. You had said earlier today, like 10 minutes ago about how hard it is to receive praise. Cause you also were experiencing that as well. Right. I mean,
yeah. Yep.
With your book. And you said something very like something to ponder for me, that when we haven't received a lot of praise in our lives growing up or otherwise, that when you do get genuine praise for something you've done, it can be very hard to receive.
Right.
Makes you kind of uncomfortable. Like, at least for me in this whole thing, while I get congratulations and I can receive that, it's when like someone says, oh my gosh, it's so well written and it's so good and it so moved me. And there's a part of me that's like, yay, go God, do your thing, this person. And then the other side of it is, I question why it makes me want to shrink. Like,
yeah. Well, you know, this just came to mind. It's like when we go to, you know, a new place or a vacation. You know, initially, this foreign land to us or foreign places is uncomfortable, and you can see everyone very comfortable in that place, and you want to fit right in with them, but you just don't know how to move in that space yet. But after a couple of days, if you're on a, you know, on the vacation, I could say cruise ship because I love cruising, but after a couple of days of being the cruising, you get to know the layout of the ship, you get to know the places you want to visit and eat, and you become as comfortable as well. So I think that's it. It's just foreign territory.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of moving past the uncomfortable and sitting in that space and realizing, you know, this is something different. And because when we do something new, and I think it's important to talk about to our audience, because some people may, and I've experienced this, some people may see me and think, oh my gosh, she's an author. She has her stuff together. But getting here was not met with opposition. Doing anything different, we have met a lot of opposition our way. So yeah. I think it's important that we talk about these uncomfortable things because, you know, to get somewhere new, we have to step into those those spaces. So uncomfortable, unfortunately, is part of it. So we're talking, this is a new step in healing today for the both of us, Jen and I.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then I think what is linked to it for me anyway is that some of my family have been very opposed to me talking about my story because they feel shame over some of the details in that. Not that, and it's false shame because they weren't involved in it. They shouldn't own it. They didn't do anything wrong. I wish that I could encourage them and really get them to believe it, to not take that on as an identity. But it's still kind of hard to navigate that. And, you and I worked with, well, not worked with, it sounds like we've been counselors, but we've encountered a lot of folks in CST where invariably someone's story is not believed, or they have been shamed. And they've been told to be quiet. Sometimes people will even put the Christian thing on it and say, oh, well, if you're a Christian, you're going to press forward. You're not going to look behind. So what you're doing is not biblical. I had a passive aggressive post from someone in my family who said that the Holy Spirit, and I know how they meant it, but that the Holy Spirit would never inspire you to plan the demise of your enemy. And I know what they were saying. They were thinking that my family member that I talk about in my book, that I'm planning their demise. That's certainly not the case. Certainly not the case. My father is deceased. I'm certainly not trying to do that. And so I just replied to it and was like, yeah, that's true. The Holy Spirit would never want you to plan someone's demise. The Holy Spirit wants you to forgive and love. And my prayer, my deep, deep prayer for freedom for everybody is that when they read my story, that they get to the end and, spoiler alert, people, God wins.
Amen.
It's about forgiveness. It's about love. And so shame kind of drives a lot of why victims are told to be quiet, told not to share it. Let's just deal with it within the family. Let's not let the outside world in, even though what's being done is illegal. So I don't know. It's been some weird space I'm navigating.
Well, and I feel like it's the number one predictable tool of the enemy. So I think if we step back, we are able to see, like in the word it says, our enemy is not flesh and blood. And so it's a constant tool that the enemy uses in others, in shame. So we know that these are not people, the people coming at us and wanting to harm us, but it's the enemy working on the inside of us with telling us, all these th lies and causing all the shame in our life. So I think it's easier to step back and be able to see compassion. And I know that you've done that, Jen, and that's why you're able to walk in a space of forgiveness. But it is hard when those fiery darts are being thrown at you, for
I'm
sure.
telling you. And the thing is, and I just want everybody out there to hear this, I love my family. I love them. And I would never, never, ever want to hurt them. But I got in this weird space of when feeling called to do something and knowing that it wasn't approved of because of different reasons. Like you got to look at why. What's the why and what you're doing and what's your motivation and just being like really true to God. And it was just a hard spot to be in, being obedient and yet knowing that it wasn't approved. And so yeah, it's like being Nehemiah on the wall. Now, of course, they're not Sanballat and they're not, but because I love them and I know that their hearts are not, I know that their hearts are not wanting to harm me, but just wanting me to be quiet. So anyway, I don't know why I'm ranting, except I
But
want.
you made it. The point is this is what we're talking about when we're healing. When we are going forward and healing and being obedient to what the Lord's calling us to, these things are uncomfortable and we are met with a lot of pain. But if we keep going, we keep pushing, we will get to the light at the end of the tunnel and we will
Absolutely.
get through because God always wins. But when you're in the middle of that circumstance and you're in the middle of that darkness, everything seems like it's crashing down, and everything inside of you sometimes wants to run back and just agree and be complacent and stay in whatever that oppressive place is. But Jen and I have found through our own healing journey, if we keep going, we're going to get to the other side. So, congratulations, sweet friend, for
Thank
making it to the other side.
you.
And you were obedient. And here you are. And it's not exactly how you wanted it to feel with all the good feels, but you were obedient and you're trusting in the Lord and in His plans, and you're giving it to Him. So you did what you needed to do and you made it through. And now I would much rather be dealing with opposition than the Lord being not
Displeased.
honored and displeased because we weren't obedient.
Right. Can you imagine being in that space where you're
Right.
just it's and that's a scary place because it says obedience is better than sacrifice. And it just I don't know. But I hope everybody hears, even if I have family that hear this, that I love them and I am not holding anything against them, but it has been difficult, but I love them. I love them. I love them. So anyway,
Okay.
but
Well, let's talk a little bit about the other side of it. We talked about the shame. Well, here we are getting compliments, and here we are receiving good things as well. And this is kind of kind of leads to why we might be uncomfortable doing that because maybe old patterns and old ways where we are met with such opposition. When we get good compliments, we're like, we want to just throw it back and we don't know what to do with it because it's just so uncomfortable. So, kind of a full circle moment. This is when you look at why am I feeling this way? Jen got on the call earlier here and just shared with me like how does this feel uncomfortable to you? And I don't understand why this feels uncomfortable to me. Well, now we can see the why behind it, why this might feel uncomfortable when we do receive compliments, because we're used to, not always feeling loved and not always being welcomed with praise because it's hard. It's hard being met with opposition all the time. And you kind of Although it's we need to heal from that, you're kind of expecting just to be met with that. So when
Right.
the things come your way, you're like, what in the world is that? So,
It's kind of like when someone says, I want to buy you dinner. And I don't know about you, but my first response is, oh, you don't have to do that. Right. And then
right.
you're like, I had that happen the other day. And the person was like, of course I don't have to do that, but I want to do that. And that's why I offered. So just receive it. And I was like, yeah, that's where it's hard receiving compliments, receiving gifts, and getting to the root of why that's hard. Why is that hard? Why did I feel the immediate need to say, you don't have to do that? And I think when I, if I just stop and look at it, it is because it's an uncomfortable, unfamiliar place. And I don't know how to receive sometimes just pure love because I haven't for a long time. Because if you're in a chaotic situation in upbringings, if everything's transactional, right? It's like if I do something, anything, and it's perceived as bad, I'm punished. If I breathe wrong, I'm perceived as bad and I'm punished. Everything. It's never just you are loved for who you are and you're affirmed for who you are. It's always What is the transactional thing happening in that moment? And so
Right.
to get praise or to get compliments or to get love, your immediate thought is, what transaction is taking place here? What,
right.
I don't know. And maybe that's too,
well,
too.
No, I think it's good because I'm glad you shared your perspective on that, because I wanted to share how I would feel in that situation. So people really can start diving in and looking, like, when things are uncomfortable and rising, like, start slowing down and evaluating, why is this uncomfortable? Because it's not that moment. You're getting something kicked inside of you from a long time ago, typically. So in that moment, if someone's wanting to pay for my dinner, so the first thing that it would make me uncomfortable, because if I'm looking at it, I would say, well, they have the upper hand now. And what do I owe them now?
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, transactional. So that's kind of how it would feel to me. Like, oh, wait, if I'm in charge of this and I'm paying, then I don't owe anyone anything. So everyone, you know, this is really just being in tune with yourself, because the only people we can heal is ourselves.
Is ourselves,
we can't
right?
heal anyone else.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Really just stepping back and saying, why am I feeling uncomfortable? Why am I feeling pain? And start asking yourself questions. And then you can, and then I can say, okay, let's just say Jen is the one buying me dinner. I can start reasoning with these fears that are rising up. I can start saying, okay, well, I don't owe Jen anything, because Jen is my friend and she wants to honor and celebrate me in this moment.
Yeah.
And so I can start battling and healing those old wounds that come up, and knowing that maybe that was a situation that did curve past, but that doesn't mean that every transaction that happens in that way from this moment forward I'm going to owe anyone anything. So that's how we heal.
Yeah.
That's how we step into those things. And it's uncomfortable at first because it's painful. It's, you're digging up roots, but that thing that you shared, Jen, and I want you to say, because it's been a while since I've seen it, something about if you bury things alive.
Oh yeah. Traumas.
Yep.
If you bury a trauma and you never deal with it, you bury it alive.
Right.
And it will come back, because it is not
right.
dead.
Right. It'll come back alive. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's how people have approached me and said, well, I've dealt with everything. I'm fine. You know, and you immediately hear it in their words. It's like, oh no, you're not fine. You really
right.
haven't dealt with this. You've buried it. And
right.
Yeah, it's that way in a lot of things. So yeah.
And if we have to convince someone that we're fine, we're probably not fine.
Right?
And if we're being honest, are really any of us completely fine?
No, fine is what your hair gets when you get older, but you know,
there you go. I like that.
Fine is, yeah, we have varying degrees of joy. We have varying degrees of struggle. You know, it just depends on the day as to what your mix is. How much joy do you have as opposed to how much struggle, and how did they affect one another? And sometimes that's played out in traumas that you've buried alive that come out
yeah.
in weird ways. And it is like when you're in a chaotic home, sometimes it's even hard to find what the transaction is when you've lived in those moments of very transactional things. Like, if I get noticed, I'm going to get abused in some way. So I'm going to try not to be noticed. So the transaction
right.
is there. If you are too noticeable, that this is going to happen. Something's going to happen. So it's like, become invisible, hide.
Right. And I've even, you know, heard of people and, you know, like, if they would gain a bunch of weight so they weren't noticed, they
yeah.
would physically take on those things just to try to line up with, you know, I need to be invisible. So, I'm not going to get the negative attention if I'm heavy, or I'm not going to get, unwanted attention.
Right.
So if these are things we can trace back, any sort of pain, most likely you can trace back to some sort of judgment you made a long time ago and agreed with, and it's still alive inside of you. And that's why I recommended that book. I think it was a couple weeks ago, How to Stop the Pain, because it really is getting to the root of judgments and self-judgments we've made, and being able to just tackle them head on. And because really, no one else should be able to harm us. And they're not harming us, they're harming something that was hit along, some judgment that was made a long time ago that says, I'm worthless. I'm not enough. I'm whatever that is for you. I'm too much. I'm too much gets it a lot for me as I sit here with my purple hair. But it's gotten hit a lot in the past, and I'm able to say, what does God say about that? Because God has uniquely designed me in this big personality way, and it's beautiful, and it's just part of his puzzle piece to the world and to his kingdom. So instead of shrinking back and not being what he designed me to be because someone else said I was too much, or that's how they made me feel, I can heal that and walk into what he has designed me to be. So
I just, as you were talking, I was thinking how for me, praise feels maybe like a trigger. Like you're talking about triggers, basically, right? Those, like, people are hitting on those things that aren't quite healed. So for me, maybe praise is a trigger because the feelings that I get in praise are, I'm not worthy of it. It's really not good enough. Somehow I've fooled you, like imposter syndrome gets in there. I don't want to disappoint you if you don't end up not liking something about me eventually. I don't know, just maybe it's a trigger for me. I just got to look at it as to why praise makes
Well,
me feel so uncomfortable sometimes.
and
Not always, but.
if we step back, it's kind of, you already just touched on judgments you had made. Why doesn't praise feel good to me? And you said, well, it's because I'm not worthy and I'm an imposter. So that's getting to the root of what was the judgment I made a long time ago, and that every time it gets hit, it does something inside of me. There's some sort of pain source. So it's really healing that, because we know Jen is worthy. We know Jen is not an imposter. We know she is an amazing person, and the Lord has even more amazing things to say about Jen and who he designed her to be. So
Amen.
it's bringing the Lord's healing and into those things that we agreed with a long time ago, because those are just lies from the enemy, and the enemy just pours on the shame and the lies. And at one point we agreed with it when we were little kiddos, typically. And these things can happen in the womb. Like, I'm a mistake. I'm a mistake. And that's a big one for a lot of people. So
Well, and my dad used to say to me all the time, "You're stupid. You're an idiot. You're dumb. Should have never been born." Or, and he would say too, like, "You're just like your mother." And that once I knew that I had a different mother besides the one I knew when I was little, he told me what a horrible person she was and how he despised and hated her. So then when he would say to me, "You're just like your mother," the kid in me would hear, "Oh, so you despise and hate me in this moment." So yeah. So yeah, maybe, getting affection and love sometimes might feel weird because in the back of my head, I'm thinking, I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. You really don't know. So yeah. It is for me getting to a root for sure. I'm getting better though. I will say, like, there have been a few times that people have said to me, "Wow, this is, like, one of my books is really great and I really enjoyed it and you're such a great writer. And I would just go, thanks. And I would really be saying just thanks.
Right. And I think it's in those safe places. Like, Jen, you've responded when I'm like, Jen, it's crazy how good of a writer you are. You are able to receive that because you know I'm on your side, right? I'm safe and you know I'm cheering you on. So I think
Absolutely.
it's just like that trust until we really know if these people are safe and it's nothing personal, but it's like a protection we put around ourselves until we really know that it's safe and it's genuine. It's hard to receive. So it's really, yeah, it's really finding our safe people and our cheerleaders along the way. And, you know, just a knowingness of who really is for me and being able to be comfortable and let down boundaries in those spaces. So, Jenna knows I love her and I'm for her and I'm here for her. And, you know, and those safe places are, and Bill, oh my gosh. Her sweet husband, and he'll get embarrassed if we call him out too much, but he's such an amazing cheerleader
He's a good man.
for Jen. And so I'm just honoring him as Jen's friend. He's such a great cheerleader. So those safe places are necessary. Jen can just melt and relax and be her because she has found a safe place.
And you know the flip side of that for me too, and this should be for everybody, and I talk about it in my book too, is learning who God says you are. Like you may have had those agreements growing up with whoever made a pronouncement over you, whatever it was,
Right.
that became your identity. I'm
Right.
stupid. I'm an idiot. I can't do anything right, which were my constant inner dialogue that I had forever. And no wonder I wanted to kill myself because I thought I was stupid. You know what I mean? Just, but the real important thing is understanding who God says that you are.
Right.
That is so critical. And
Right.
just coming up against your self-talk, like when it talks about taking every thought captive,
Yes.
it's like taking that those things that you're saying to yourself that you've heard pronounced over you that isn't true, that someone else might have believed about you, that you, like you said, that you agreed with. It's like taking that captive and putting the ointment and the healing salve of the Holy Spirit and God's word as to who you are, and getting it
Right.
deep, countering all those lies. Like, oh my gosh, once I understood that I was a daughter of the King, that I was made on purpose, with purpose, that God valued me so much that he called me his beloved, that he was never going to leave me and let me go, that I was just firmly in the palm of his hand, that he loved me so much that he engraved my name there so he would never forget me, that it says that he would give me a heart of flesh for a heart of stone, that he sent Jesus for me because I was so valuable. I mean, just all of the things. That's who you are. That's who
Right.
you are. You are not the things that you've went through. You are not the traumas that have happened to you. You are
Right.
only what God, who God says that you are. And
Amen.
you have value. You are so deeply loved, so deeply loved, like loved beyond your wildest dreams by God. And it really getting that, it's life-changing.
Absolutely. And stepping back even further, you know, because I think especially, you know, some Christians, you just hear these things so many times, like, I'm daughter of the King, I'm loved by the Lord. And so sometimes it seems super generic, right? Like, yeah, which is sad, but it is what it is. So really, when these things come up, like our roots, like I am stupid, for instance, really like talking to your creator, like, Lord, I am sorry that I agreed with at some point that your creation, Father, was stupid. And so, Lord, I want you to come into that space now, and I want you to heal that space. And I personally need you to tell me who I am. And so that there's a moment there where you might hear something in your head. I would say whisper, but it's not an audible voice. Typically, I've never heard an audible voice, but in that moment, if you get something personal from the Lord instead of the things, and it could be that you're my daughter or you're my beloved, it could be those things. But if it's something personal to that, oh, a word from the Lord shifts everything, and it can be instantly, because you're not walking in that lie, you're walking in the truth.
And making those declarations in your head, buddy, making them outwardly, inwardly, till your heart gets it.
I mean, just one word from him can change your whole circumstances. So,
God is good. Like I hope everybody out there gets that and understands who they really are. Like if you hear nothing else through all of this, just to know that God loves you. He wants relationship with you. He would do anything to have relationship with you, and he has, right?
right.
He gave his most precious gift. Oh my goodness. And just trying God, just try him. Like I tried everything in the beginning. I tried self-help books. I tried all kinds of stuff to try to feel better. And ultimately, the thing that really did it for me was just God coming in and healing me and really letting him into those places. And then those tools made sense, right? These, self-help books and stuff, all of that made sense once I started with God. It was, otherwise, it just felt like, okay, something's missing here. Why is this not getting deeper?
Well, we can only do so much on our own, right?
Amen.
We need our creator to tell us his design for us, because he created all of us. So there was a purpose in our creation. So we need to hear from him what that purpose was.
Amen. Amen. Well, all right, folks, I think we're going to end it there. We're
This
just,
was good.
it was very good. So glad you joined us. If you have any questions or comments, I put the email address in every description of every episode. Send us a question. We'd love to just have a little Q&A about anything, and it will be anonymous. So if you have a really tough question that you don't want people to know it was you that asked it, that's okay. We will keep you anonymous. It will not go any further. But we'd love to talk about whatever you guys are talking about, so or wondering about. So,
I feel like we should give out a shout out to our girl Jenny, who faithfully listens as well. Jenny, we love you. And we're gonna see if you listen to this episode, Jenny. And so Jen is waiting for your email as well
Right.
with your question.
That's right, Jen.
Just saying, just saying.
Jenny, we're talking to you. You know who you are.
Bye,
Right. Well, till next time, folks.
friends.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2022, Parable Road, LLC.